claims or advantages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Who needs help is the United States today. We are in the most embarrassing, humiliating situation in the eyes of the world we have ever been in the entire history of America. Russia accuses U.S. of covering up violations of the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention, calls to strengthen the Bioweapons Treaty. Russia has declared the U.S. and Ukraine have covered up violations of the Biological Weapons Convention of 1972 after Russia discovered biolaboratories in Ukraine and after State Department official Victoria Nuland confirmed in her testimony on Tuesday that the U.S. has biolabs in Ukraine. The Biological Weapons Convention is a disarmament treaty that effectively bans biological and toxin weapons by prohibiting, get this, their development, production, acquisition, transfer, stockpiling, and use. Just think about that. When Anthony Fauci was messing around with the coronavirus and all that, he was violating the Biological Weapons Convention because you're not even allowed to develop or produce or acquire, transfer, or stockpile them. The convention was ratified by 143 nations, but lacks a means of insurance compliance. And the U.S. rejected a Biological Weapons Convention protocol, according to a report posted on the National Institute of Health, that's Fauci's organization, in 2001. This is completely stunning. So what's happened? Russia has released alleged captured documents before a U.N. special counsel meeting exposing the evidence of U.S. military biolabs in Ukraine. This is happening now. Russia called to convene the U.N. Security Council this morning to prevent evidence of military biological activities by the United States in Ukraine. This is stunning and shocking and embarrassing and humiliating. U.S. officials have offered varying responses to Russia's claims. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Victoria Nuland, by the way, who engineered the coup in Ukraine in 2014 using $5 billion in taxpayers' monies, for example, told lawmakers in Ukraine that Ukraine does indeed have biological research facilities. The Russian Defense Ministry continues to study materials on the implementation of military biological programs of the United States and NATO on the territory of Ukraine. Information received from various sources confirms a leading role of the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency in financing and conducting military biological research on the territory of Ukraine. Details of the UP4 project became known, which was implemented with the participation of laboratories in Kiev, Kharkov, and Odessa, was designed for the period up to 2020. Its purpose was to study the possibility of the spread of particularly dangerous infections through migrating birds, including the highly pathogenic H5N1 influenza, the mortality rate which is 50% for humans, as well as Newcastle disease. Due to the fact that Ukraine has a unique geographical location where transcontinental migration routes intersect, 145 biological species were studied within the framework of this project. At the same time, At least two species of migratory birds were identified whose routes pass mainly through the territory of Russia. At the same time, information about migration routes passes through the countries of Eastern Europe. Of all the methods developed in the U.S. to destabilize the epidemiological situation, this is among the most reckless and irresponsible, since it does not allow for control of the further development of the situation. This is confirmed by the course of the pandemic of a new coronavirus infection, the occurrence and features of which raise many questions. In addition, the R781 project is interesting, where bats are considered as carriers of potential biological weapons. Among the priorities identified are the study of bacterial and viral pathogens that can be transmitted from bats to humans, pathogens of plague, leptospirosis, brucellosis, as well as coronavirus and filoviruses. It's noteworthy the research is carried out in close proximity to the borders of Russia in the areas of the Black Sea coast and the Caucasus. The project is being implemented with the implementation not only Ukrainian but also Georgian biological laboratories controlled by the Pentagon in cooperation with the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and the U.S. Geological Survey. How embarrassing. The analyzed materials on the UP8 project aimed at studying the Congo-Crimean hemorrhagic fever virus and hantaviruses in Ukraine clearly refute the U.S. public statement that only Ukrainian scientists work in the Pentagon biolabs in Ukraine without the intervention of American biologists. One of the documents confirms that all serious high-risk studies are conducted under the direct supervision of specialists from the United States. The payroll of Ukrainian contractors clearly demonstrates how they are financed. It has been confirmed that the U.S. Department of Defense paid money for research participation directly without the involvement of intermediaries. The extremely modest pay by U.S. standards is noteworthy. This indicates a low estimation of the professionalism of Ukrainian specialists and the neglect of their American colleagues. In addition, the studied materials contain proposals for the expansion of the U.S. military biological program in Ukraine. Thus, there was evidence that the continuation of completed biological projects, UP1, UP9, UP10, aimed at studying the pathogens of anthrax in African swine fever. Let me just add, these are among the most virulent toxins known to man. The Pentagon is also interested in insect vectors capable of spreading dangerous infectious diseases. The analysis of the obtained materials confirms the transformation of more than 140 containers with ectoparasites of bats, fleas, and ticks from the biolab in Kharkov abroad significantly. Similar research was carried out in the 1940s on the development of biological weapon component by Japanese Unit 731, whose members later fled to the U.S. to escape prosecution for war crimes. I would like to remind you that representatives of Western countries are extremely cautious about handing over their biomaterials. At the same time, available documents confirm numerous cases of transferring biological samples of Ukrainian citizens abroad. For example, 350 cryo containers with blood serum samples were transferred from the Public Health Center of the Ministry of Health of Ukraine to the Reference Laboratory for Infectious Diseases of the Australian Doherty Institute under the pretext of determining antibody titers. Another example is the Russian-funded project number 68727EN on the study of Congo-Crimean hemorrhagic fever pathogens and hantaviruses. As part of this project, 1,000 blood serum samples of citizens from different regions of Ukraine belonging exclusively to the Slavic ethnic group were donated to the Bernard Nocht Institute for Topical Medicine in Hamburg, Germany. It's highly likely one of the objectives of the U.S. and its allies is to create bioagents capable of selectively targeting different ethnic populations. During a hearing of the U.S. Senate Foreign Affairs Committee on 8 March, just a few days ago, Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland reported on the presence of bioweapons in Ukraine where biosecurity research had been conducted. She expressed concern about the possibility of these biolaboratories and the materials there being taken over by the Russian armed forces. According to available information, the Americans have already managed to evacuate most of the documentation, including databases, biomaterials, and equipment from laboratories in Kiev, Kharkov, and Odessa to Lviv Research Institute of Epidemiology and Hygiene in the U.S. consulate in Lviv. The possibility of transferring part of the collection to Poland has not been excluded. In fact, with her statement, Nuland indirectly confirmed the Pentagon's military biological program in Ukraine in circumvention of existing international agreements. This is absolutely stunning stuff. I can't begin to tell you how god-awful this is. The United States has been found with its pants down, performing research activities of the most malignant and evil fashion possible in the eyes of the entire world. This is what we have come to. It is a disgrace. Mitchell, I know you've been following these events. I welcome your comments.
Hey, Jim. Hey, hello, everybody. How you doing? Yeah, the labs are a constant throughout the world. The U.S. has been also funding labs in Kazakhstan. Why? Who really knows? They say it's for, you know, COVID purposes, but we are we've crossed a point where credibility of what the United States government says has been completely shredded. You know, this Ukraine narrative, I don't believe the answer is really in Ukraine. It's further east. It is in Kazakhstan. And many people may not realize, but, you know, there was just an attempted coup in Kazakhstan, a attempted color revolution that was instigated, implemented by the same group of actors who participated and have quote-unquote experience from the overthrow in Ukraine. So the United States government funded to destabilize Kazakhstan in the middle of a set of negotiations now that has been going on for, was going on, I should say, for 6 months or more. Direct negotiations between the Biden administration and their negotiator, Victoria Nuland.
Yeah, those are all excellent.
It's absolutely ludicrous, Jim. I'm sorry, but Victoria Nuland, you know, Russia said, look, stop this advancing eastward. You know, stop, you know, overthrowing nations, you know, culturally and economically, you know, co-opting their countries and their citizens. And they were in the middle of this negotiation. And what did the U.S. do? It did the same thing they did in Ukraine on another nation that is the major underbelly of Russia. And it's such a breach in faith. It's, you know, it's designed to take people to war.
Mitchell, you got all that exactly right. I think we can see why going back to Hillary Clinton, the demonization of Russia has been indispensable to the military-industrial complex right here in the United States, which has moved for the expansion from its original 16 nations to 30 today, the addition of 14 more nations, which resulted after the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, even though the United States, Ronald Reagan, and his Secretary of State, James Baker, had issued the most solemn assurances that NATO and the West would not encroach one inch to the east. But for the military-industrial complex, that won't do. They want there to be a constant threat from Russia to expand NATO so they can maintain the expensive military equipment the military-industrial complex is providing and fatten their profit margin. That's what this is about. They have been especially opposed to Germany and Russia becoming closer through the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and it's a relief to say that the German chancellor has rejected cutting off Russian oil and gas. Well, approval, final approval to open a pipeline has been delayed because of the intervention. I expect it will move forward. Once you have improved relations between Russia and Germany, the threat of a Russian invasion subsides, NATO becomes antiquated and indispensable, and there's no need to purchase costly military equipment from the United States. Hence, it's a lose-lose for NATO and the military-industrial complex if the Nord Stream 2 goes forward, but it's a win-win for Europe and for Russia that it should happen, and indeed for the world and for the sake of world peace. Meanwhile, for those who believe that Vladimir Putin is, just one more stooge and tool of the World Economic Forum, let me reassure you, the World Economic Forum has now cut ties with Putin and corporations are suspending sales in Russia. The World Economic Forum, the globalist pulpit, has decided to sever ties with Russia after President Putin sent troops into Ukraine to demilitarize and carry out a denazification of his government. WEF spokesperson Amanda Russo reported, "We're not engaging with any sanctioned individual and have frozen all relation with Russian entities." A research center and an advisory council located in Moscow has also been severed from the WEF, but the group says they will continue to work on the relationship between Russia and Ukraine. As reported by Politico, the 800-pound gorilla of the elite global conference circuit has walked a tightrope for decades when it comes to Russia, basking in the Kremlin's attention while cringing over oligarch antics. The forum's founder, Klaus Schwab, prides himself on making his annual meeting in Davos open to all comers, including via personal relationship with Putin, dating back to the early 1990s. The WEF has been addressed by Putin and his predecessor, Dmitry Medvedev, 5 times over the past 14 years, but Putin turned down their invitation to speak in 2015. Since troops moved into Ukraine, Russia has been cut off and isolated from the rest of the world. Big banks have taken away their ability to make international transactions, along with other sanctions, and now big corporations are pushing them further into economic ruin. Let me just make an aside. Ain't gonna happen. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, McDonald's, and Starbucks have all announced to no longer be operating in Russia. In a statement, Coca-Cola said, "Our hearts are with the people who are enduring unconscionable efforts from these tragic events in Ukraine. We will continue to monitor and assess the situation as circumstances evolve." PepsiCo followed suit, released a similar sentiment, suspending sale across the country. McDonald's has closed over 850 locations. Starbucks, in their typical woke fashion, has plenty to say about the situation in Russia, where CEO Kevin Johnson sent out a memo to suspend all business activity in Russia. "We condemn the horrific attacks on Ukraine by Russia, and our hearts go out to all those affected," he said. "We continue to watch the tragic events unfold, and today we've decided to suspend all business activity in Russia, including shipment of all Starbucks products. Our licensed partners agreed to immediately pause store operations that will provide support to the nearly 2,000 partners in Russia who depend on Starbucks for their livelihood." The irony here is these companies in the long run may be doing the Russian people a solid, no one needs to be benefit. No one needs to be ingesting their poison products anyway. As financial institutions and corporations are celebrated for their role in basically attempting to bankrupt a foreign nation, people need to keep in mind that if these institutions and corporations can do this to a country like Russia, they can turn that on anyone at any time. Mitchell, I think these revelations about the biolabs, which show the Russian intervention was wholly justified on that and other grounds, just leads to these companies being in the shocking position of supporting American duplicity and criminal acts in Ukraine. Knowingly or unknowingly, they ought to reverse their position and reestablish business relations where they're violating contractual agreements for political reasons, which I believe is legally unwarranted and unjustifiable in the first place. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, there was no outcry in the world when, you know, Victoria Nuland had her agents and sharpshooters taking out Ukrainians to take out the government. You know, nobody bitched and moaned about it then. You know, nobody stood up and when Victoria Nuland walked out the new leaders of Ukraine in front of, what was it, Mobile and Exxon banners. The world cheered, you know, people in D.C. all, you know, rallied around and said, yeah, all right, you know. And, you know, I'm like this, I'm the whole time, I'm like, what in the hell do these people really think they're doing? And, you know, there's the two rules, you know, it's always the rule for them and the rule for us, but, you know, clearly it's a rule for the United States government and the world military industrial complex, you know, versus anybody who would dare, you know, push back or talk back, about the idiocracy, the craziness, the duplicity of what they do. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Here's more. The Secretary of State Blinken has gone rogue on Ukraine policy, causing a high-risk situation, but Kamala keeps on crackling. The events that have occurred in the past few days are vitally important to understand. Basically, during this very important time where war is looming and tensions are high, our State Department seems to be going rogue. Though complex, I'll seek to explain what's been happening between the Ukraine players. Unfortunately, it seems as if the military operation occurring in the Ukraine is being treated as a game by some U.S. politicians who seem uncaring about their ability to hurt so many. Let's start at the beginning. Last weekend, the U.S. Department of State Secretary Antony Blinken made a statement and green-lighted a plan for Poland, a NATO ally, to send MiG-29 fighter jets into Ukraine. Blinken made the statement in Moldova to three media outlets. Poland, however, only first learned of the plan through the media. It is fair to say Poland was caught off guard. Pro-Ukraine Western media began asking the Polish government for details. The reply that came back from Poland was fake news. Poland stated it had no intention of sending jets into Ukraine. Fortunately, Poland assessed the situation and told Blinken it was going to happen. Blinken, however, with his statement, had created quite a ruckus within Western governments about the plans for the planes, and he let Poland defend for itself in seeking to end the mess. He stayed quiet. So in response, and without telling Blinken first, what's good for the goose, Poland ended up making a statement that they would send jets to Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, but would not send them to Ukraine. So if Blinken wanted to use the jets to create his war with Russia, it was now his move. Poland stepped out of the pile Blinken had put them in, and by calling Blinken's bluff, necessitated the Pentagon getting involved and putting the brakes on the whole idea. We have reports from the Pentagon rejecting the whole idea of sending jets. The whole situation highlights the brokenness of the U.S. government, points to the fact that the U.S. Department of State is seeking to become its own branch of government, a branch that wants power over the outcome of global events. One can't help but wonder if this same scenario played out with the Afghanistan tragedy. All of this is bad enough, but now on top of the situation, Vice President Kamala Harris' diplomatic skills have to be taken into account, which are, of course, non-existent. While in Poland, she was asked questions about the ever-changing situation with the jets, as well as questions about Ukrainian refugees. Her response about the worst a person could give at that time, she dodged and laughed. She passed it over to the Polish leader. None of this is funny anymore. Never was, never will be. I just cannot believe the extent to which the Democrats have destroyed the standing of America in the world by having nitwits and incompetents like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris even on their ticket. Mitchell, this is just disgusting.
Yes, Jim, it's a, gosh, it's a bizarro world. I don't know how else you can really say it. You know, what the United States does and what it has done around the world. And as it stands here in lectures, you know, lectures everybody else. You know, I keep thinking about, you know, Benghazi. I keep thinking about the weapons bazaars as the West raided the Libyan arsenal and sent it into Syria to do as much damage as it could in the hands of Islamic extremists. I think about the Hillary Clinton Memorial slave markets in Tripoli. You know, it's absolutely disgusting that every place these people go, they break down societies, and then they try to socially engineer and socially manipulate them into this mass mindset that they're manufacturing. This idea of the jets to Ukraine from Poland, it was said that Joe Biden personally shot that down. That he put the hammer down on that. Joe himself, you know, maybe that's a story. Maybe it was Barack Obama said, Joe, you can't do that. I mean, I don't know. All I can say is it's clear the provocation that the West has made in Ukraine and has continued to build it for years. And, you know, this is why I say in the midst, you know, I repeat it. I keep singing this tune. In the midst of the negotiations, the United States, you know, tried to overthrow yet another Soviet satellite, former Soviet satellite in Kazakhstan. And, it blew everything up. I mean, you can't trust any negotiations when a person is in the middle of doing what you're just negotiating about what they did. So, yeah, we're almost at the break. So,
Mitchell, let me just add for anyone who missed the memo, Vladimir Putin has made it very clear that any other nation that intervenes in the war, the intrusion into Ukraine, will be treated as a combatant, as having become a participant. So what Blinken was promoting was insanity to try to draw in Poland and even Germany into a conflict with Russia. Putin would not stand for it. We'll be right back after the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Among the political consequences and ramifications of the intrusion, the special military operation launched by Russia into Ukraine, a Democrat pollster says good news is Biden can now blame Putin for high gas prices, but admits they were going up before the war. I don't think anyone is going to be fooled. Some Democrats are embracing sky-high gas prices because the energy crisis is giving Democrats a villain they can blame to distract midterm election voters from Democrats' own policies. Democrats have their work cut out for them in the 2022 midterm elections. Between historic inflation, skyrocketing gas prices, failed legislative maneuvers, and botched Afghanistan withdrawal, polling consistently shows Republicans with a comfortable generic ballot lead over Democrats. But one Democrat pollster recently let the cat out of the bag. For Democrats, the gas price crisis is not all bad news. Celinda Lake, a Democrat pollster who worked for President Joe Biden's campaign in 2020 and continues to poll for Biden-aligned groups, told the Washington Post, Democrats can coalesce around a message blaming high gas prices on Russian President Putin. The good news is we now have a very specific reason for rising gas prices and a specific villain. Before it was kind of ambiguous what's going on. Why are gas prices going up? as though no one had noticed that his first act on becoming president was to cancel the XL pipeline and forbid drilling on public lands where Donald Trump had made the nation energy independent. Do they seriously think they can get away with this scam? The Biden administration has taken the message to heart. Biden said Tuesday gas prices will continue to increase and denied he can do anything about it because Russia is responsible. The White House then released a video explaining why Biden is not responsible, coalescing around the phrase Putin's price hike to shed any responsibility for the growing crisis. Democrats face another problem amidst the gas price crisis. The Biden administration is reportedly looking to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia to help supply Americans' energy needs after cutting off Russian oil. But that's not going over well in Florida, where a significant Hispanic population rebukes any association with socialistic dictators like Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro. Politico reports. Democrat Representative Val Demings, running for Rubio's Senate seat, said she was deeply skeptical of talks with Venezuela. Representative Charlie Crist, who's running for governor, said he was deeply concerned the wrong change to our policy would simply enrich Maduro's brutal dictatorship and set back the fight for democracy. If America was down to its last barrel and Venezuela was giving oil away for free, we still shouldn't go to the Maduro regime for help, said Democrat State Senator Annette Tedeo, who is running for governor. Meanwhile, Democrat lawmakers are increasingly calling on the Biden administration to increase domestic oil production to help alleviate problems for Americans. But it was Biden who shut it all down. It was Biden who took us from being energy independent to being energy dependent. It was Biden who reversed Trump's policies, one of the great contributions he had made to America. Meanwhile, the U.S. reaches out to once-shunned oil producers. Three checkered oil regimes that President Biden and past U.S. leaders have spectacularly snubbed, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and Iran, are now targets of U.S. outreach as global fuel prices reach jarring levels during the Ukraine crisis. But it's not clear any U.S. diplomacy could get more crude on the market fast enough to help the current supply crunch or tear once-shunned oil states away from what, for Saudi Arabia in particular, are profitable alliances with Russia. For the Biden administration, U.S. overtures to three problematic oil giants at best could lead to stabilizing rising oil and gas prices and draw those governments closer to the West and away from Russia, China. At worst, and you can count on this, Biden risks humiliating rebuffs and condemnation for outreach to government accused of rights abuses and violence. Saudi Arabia, for example, has already rejected these overtures. We have an interest globally in maintaining a steady supply of energy, including through diplomatic efforts, said Secretary of State Blinken, of the move toward countries that have been out of U.S. or Biden administration favor, and in the case of Iran, an armed threat. Meanwhile, we get reports that even though all of these efforts are made to shut down business with Russia, the Russian economy is unlikely to collapse despite the sanctions. Indeed, what's going on is drawing Russia as a massive supplier closer to China as a massive consumer of the natural resources Russia can supply. This is a self-defeating effort in multiple respects. Meanwhile, Russia retaliates. No exports rest of the year. Russian President Vladimir Putin has announced he will ban all exports of products and raw material from Russia to the West until December 31st. No one gets anything. Initial assessments say this includes all their oil, gas, grain, metals, and a slew of important commodities. Putin has signed a decree restricting imports and exports of products and raw materials to ensure the security of the Russian Federation. The list will be determined by the government. This is coming from Hal Turner, who adds his own personal comment, "Europe and the U.S. are so screwed." Mitchell, your thoughts.
Man, I tell you, Jim, they really are. You know, we're seeing this war on humanity. It's in this great new reset, and they are bringing together a series of events that people will be able to blame on, you know, something else than besides, you know, the great reset, you know, the corporations and the governments of the world working in coordination. See, and that's the thing, in coordination to effectively, you know, reduce the rights of their citizens and increase the power and overreach of government. And that those governments are essentially, in parallel with the world government, the New World Order that they keep trying to, bring in. That's the truth that we see. It's evident in the chaos, you know, the order out of chaos that they keep working with, the strategy of tensions that they use, the false provocations against, you know, people who stand for patriotic nationalism. It doesn't have to be just Trump. You know, it can be anybody who stands against this narrative that is essentially trying to drive the world together and to unite under crises and bring about this mass world psychosis. And then, of course, the only thing that can solve the problems is the world and the world government. That makes sense.
Oh, I think you're spot on, Mitchell. Moreover, those who have suspected that curtailing access to gas and oil, cheap gas, cheap oil, making these prices skyrocket as part of the Biden agenda to move in the direction of green energy, which turns out to be scientifically unsustainable, unsupported, classic political mythology, are confirmed by an interview that just appeared on Democracy Now by a presumptive expert in the field. The heading, this is published on RSN, Reader Supported News, which is a far left website that's in terrible shape. They've been pleading for donations, which indicates, of course, that the Democratic Party is in disarray and that its prospects are so bleak, even Democrats aren't willing to support Reader Supported News. Russian invasion shows risks of addiction to fossil fuels. Will Biden fund a shift to renewables? The bottom line, according to this spokeswoman, is to achieve first peace in Ukraine and stop Putin, and then to make the transition from fossil fuels. I can't begin to tell you how insane this is and how destructive it would be for America for reasons I shall elaborate upon. Global oil and gas prices are skyrocketing as the U.S. bans Russian energy imports as part of its sanctions on Russia for invading Ukraine. In retaliation, Russia threatened to cut off natural gas to Europe via the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. We speak to energy. Actually, I don't believe that's true at all. We speak to energy and climate investigative reporter Antonia Juhasz, author of The Tyranny of Oil, the world's most powerful industry, about growing calls for a green energy revolution amid the climate crisis and rising prices for fossil fuels. The bottom line is to achieve first peace in Ukraine and stop Putin, and then to make the transition from fossil fuels. Mind you, Amy Goodman is just a stooge of the deep state, and in this instance, promoting Biden political rubbish. Amy Goodman, this is Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hey, Juan. Hi, Amy. Welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Amy, as Russia's invasion of Ukraine enters its 14th day, we begin today's show looking at the war's impact on global energy markets. On Tuesday, President Biden announced a ban on imports of Russian oil, gas, and coal. Britain followed up by saying it would phase out imports of Russian oil by the end of the war. The European Union has now announced plans to reduce its dependence on Russian oil and gas by two-thirds this year. Not likely, in my opinion. President Biden announced a U.S. ban during an address from the White House. Given Russia's key role in global energy supply, the global economy should soon be faced with one of the largest energy supply shocks. However, experts add, in recent days, the Biden administration has begun exploring other ways to increase global oil supply. Gee, I wonder, maybe an XL pipeline, maybe drilling on publicly owned land? Over the weekend, Biden administration officials traveled to Venezuela to discuss a possible lifting of sanctions on the nation's oil industry. The White House has also floated the idea of Biden visiting Saudi Arabia in an effort to mend relations and urge the kingdom to pump more oil. While the Biden admin is pushing more oil drilling, many climate activists say now is the time to invest in a green energy revolution. Democrat Senator Ed Markey of Mass said, "This moment is a clarion call for the urgent need to transition to domestic clean energy so that we are never again complicit in fossil-fueled conflict." As though the war had anything to do with oil, only when you deeply understand that it's an effort by the deep state to cut off relations between Germany and Russia does that come into view. There's nothing Russia has declared about going into Ukraine that has anything to do with oil. We now go to Antonia Juhas, investigative journalist focused on energy and climate. In other words, this is a stooge. Antonia is the author of three books, including The Tyranny of Oil. She teaches at Tulane in New Orleans, from where she is joining us. Antonia, welcome back to Democracy Now! Let's begin with Biden's unilateral announcement of the energy ban, gas, oil, coal from Russia, and its significance. Antonia, it is extremely significant, Amy, and thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Juan. There are many parts of that speech that were very important. I would say the most is actually when Biden said, U.S. must transition to clean energy. That'll mean tyrants like Putin won't be able to use fossil fuel as weapons against other nations. He didn't limit it to Putin, and he essentially said the United States was going now to now see the wielding of fossil fuels as a weapon of war. That's a profound statement and should have profound impacts on the way that we look at the way many nations and companies use fossil fuels and the impact on people, the economy, war, peace, the climate, etc. By stating the U.S. would end any oil, liquefied natural gas, and coal imports, the U.S. was being the first nation to take that full step against Putin and to essentially say peace in Ukraine is dependent on a shifting off of fossil fuels, ending Russia's ability to wield fossil fuels as a weapon of war, and the world and the nation necessity to transition off of fossil fuels. Mind you, this is all complete and utter bullshit. The war has nothing to do with fossil fuels. The intervention is because of biolabs, constant shelling of the Russian people in eastern Ukraine, the Nazification of the Ukrainian government. Oil is not a factor. This is just the Democrats capitalizing on the observation of Rahm Emanuel. Never let a crisis go to waste. This woman continues. That is the message that has been being loudly repeated out of the political leadership in the Ukraine, citizens of Ukraine, people around the world, the Secretary General of the United Nations, who kept being repeated, a key tool toward Putin, says the unwinding of the global reliance on fossil fuels. Frankly, I haven't heard a word like that, not a single word. Juan Gonzalez. Antonia, at the same time, the Biden administration is looking to reorient its supplies and obviously world supplies in discussion with Venezuela as possibilities. There seems to be an impetus to reach a deal with Iran. So attempts to get Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states to increase their oil supplies. By the way, United Arab Emirates has also declined the offer. Both leaders of the Emirates and of Saudi Arabia declined to have phone calls with Biden, apparently, according to press report. They won't even take his phone call. So is it really a shifting more toward renewable energy, or is it an issue of having to reorient the supply routes in terms of oil? A very appropriate question. Antonia, there's a short and the long term. First of all, I think it's really important to say that the price spike that we have seen immediately in the aftermath of the Russian invasion is not about a shortage of supply of any natural resource at this point of oil or natural gas. It is energy traders trading on the expectation of a reduction in supply and pushing the price of oil up. The price of oil going up has immediately impacted the price of gasoline. If we regulated energy traders' behavior, we could address that problem right now. But the reality is, the expectation is there will be a reduction in supply of Russian gas and oil on the global market of Russian natural gas, because Putin has already been using the supply of natural gas as a tool against Europe. Another false claim, in my opinion. So, controlling the flow, the decision whether to let natural gas flow to Europe, which also has very significant impacts. So in the short term, the Biden admin did orchestrate, which is a fairly profound shift in global energy policy. The International Energy Agency acted to coordinate its members, led by the United States, to increase oil supplies by 60 million barrels. That, by the way, is a drop in the bucket. That was essentially as a direct rebuff against OPEC's unwillingness to do so. That is because Saudi Arabia is aligned with Russia and trying to protect Russian interests and is not going to put more oil into the market in order to support Russia. It is not surprising to me that the Saudis are not taking Biden's call. I don't think that's going to happen. In the short term, there's a desire to demonstrate there will be more oil, and that should hopefully reduce the stress that's being put on the market by energy traders, and again, the expectation of a reduction in supply. But I think we need to hold the administration and rest of global leaders to their pledges, which is that they are saying this is a short-term solution. The long-term or even immediate-term solution is a transition to fossil fuels. She means away from fossil fuels. And they need to be held to those statements. Every member of the Biden admin who spoke and has reiterated that need to be held to that statement, because what, if anything, this war has shown is how insecure we are based on this dependence. As going to electric cars would, relieve. I mean, there's so many absurdities here. The power that the price of gasoline has over political election, people's pocketbooks, everything in between is an incredible weakness. If you go to electrical energy, the situation would be catastrophically worse. We can elaborate on that. The dependence of Europe on, and I call it methane gas, not natural gas, because natural is about 93% methanes. Europe's dependence on methane gas has put it into this position where it's having an almost impossible time divorcing itself from Putin's power. Being unable to do that means that there isn't a stand to be able to take against wielding the war against Ukraine. So that incredible weakness that is created by that dependence on methane gas and the idea that methane gas should be considered a quote-unquote bridge fuel from fossil fuels to renewable energy, I think it has been put into stark. It has been exposed to be not a bridge fuel at all, but rather a continued weakness, not only on compounding the climate crisis, but in continuing to support autocrats and some of the most brutal regimes of the world. I think we need to look at the actions of the oil companies, BP, Shell, even Exxon, who have been unwinding and divesting their partnerships with Russia and doing so with public statements in which they say what they're doing this for humanitarian reasons. They do not want to put their money behind Putin and support his war. That sentiment, the same as Biden's sentiment in his speech, need to be implied and thought of to all their partnerships with all the other countries that are wielding control over fossil fuels as weapons. Saudi Arabia is a key example in its brutal war on Yemen. All of the same oil companies that partner with Russia and Putin partner with the Saudis, are in deep partnership with the Saudis, and expand this analysis to say, how can we unplug this power, this influence? Now, frankly, that's a great deal of nonsense there in a single report. Joe Olson and I have been doing a series on climate change. You can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. The very first presentation, the very first episode of the series on climate change demonstrated that over 600 million years of Earth history, there is no correlation between the amount of CO2, the so-called greenhouse gas in the atmosphere, and the temperature of Earth. There is no correlation. If there is no correlation, there can be no causation. Even when there are correlations, such as between smoking and cancer, and vaccines and autism, industries, the tobacco on the one hand and Big Pharma on the other have fought tooth and nail that in spite of the obvious correlation, there's no causation. But no one disagrees that if there's no correlation, there can be no causation. That means this whole thing about climate change is completely absurd. Oil turns out to be naturally produced by Earth. It is a virtually inexhaustible supply. There was no peak oil. It's not a fossil fuel. It's naturally produced by Earth. If we were to transition, our economy would collapse. And just think about electric cars. It requires more energy to get electricity into a car than it saves by running an electric car. It takes hours to recharge an electric battery. You can redo a gas engine, a gas automobile, in a matter of minutes. But with electric energy, it would take hours. And an EMP over the U.S. could take out all of our electrical grids, and we would be left hopeless. Gas and oil are indispensable to the American economy and to our national security. And the Democrats, once again, are acting like complete stooges. In this case, in my opinion, of George Soros, whose motive has always been to destroy America. And with Biden and Harris in place, they're doing a pretty good job. In fact, I believe you can understand what's really going on here if you view the administration as being where George Soros is calling the shots, perhaps with the assistance of Barack Obama. But Biden and Harris are utterly incompetent as stooges. We couldn't have a worse setup right now in the United States. Absolutely disgusting and outrageous. We're here once again for our break, and we'll continue. We'll invite Mitchell for his comments when we return. The situation is just as dire as it could possibly be for the United States, and our enemies are in charge of our republic and doing everything they can to destroy us. We must recognize the threat from within. It is a Democratic Party under the leadership of George Soros acting decisively to destroy the United States of America.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is give. I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mitchell, I hate to make generalizations, but the Democratic Party leadership are either the dumbest in world history or the most corrupt, probably a combination of both. What are your thoughts about this report on the necessity to shift to sustainable, you know, windmills and solar panels? I mean, these are very inefficient mechanisms. I mean, the ignorance here, the scientific illiteracy is staggering. Your thoughts?
How do you turn a profit if people can keep using the same stuff? I mean, you got to sell them all new stuff, right? You got to sell them all new technology, all new ways, all different ways. You have to get them into a different psychology. So they'll buy all new shit every few months, all new different cars even, different phones, different technology. It's really this disposable world of that we're living in. And it's being such a manufactured. Yeah, I wanted to shift a little gear here, and I wanted to say congratulations, Jim, to you in Wisconsin. I just wanted to say you guys have set records up there in the 2020 election. I just wanted to say God bless you guys. I'm still trying to speak.
You mean in exposing the theft of the election?
Well, that's partly. But all those people that were in the nursing homes that had 100% voter participation rate, I mean, that's really something. That's an accomplishment that few acquire.
You're right. You're right. Listen, when I was living in Duluth, which I for 19 years from 87 to 2006, Duluth had the distinction of being the highest voting participation of any city in the country. And it was around 70%. So the idea of getting 100% out of a nursing home is so absurd on its face. And all this idea of, you know, having these drop boxes, whereas, you know, from the 2000 Mules video that's about to come out, the documentary, those who were participating in the fraud and stuffing the drop boxes had to take selfies of themselves in order to be paid. Well, the good guys have all those selfies, and they're going to be exposed here when this documentary comes out. Look for the trailer. It's out there. 2,000 mules who are, in this case, not packing drugs, but packing fake ballots and votes for Biden. Mitchell, this is just so nauseating. It's unbelievable. And the Democrats continue to insist this was the fairest election in history. But the country would never have supported Joe Biden. He stayed in the basement, for God's sake. He was incompetent and incoherent even then. As I remind voters, everyone from time to time, they even had a joint appearance of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in Phoenix shortly before, just days before the election. And guess what? The turnout, nobody came. And this is a guy who's supposed to have won 80 million votes. I mean, the bullshit is just so high and so deep, Mitchell.
Yes, Jim, it is. It's over the top. And, you know, whether they want, you know, it's hard for, you know, the media and public radio and television to, you know, say that, you know, that Gableman and his report are, you know, biased and, you know, this and it's unfounded. And, you know, it was striking because, you know, what did they check? Like 30 more nursing homes, and that all the nursing homes. I mean, it just wasn't one or two. It was majority of these nursing homes. Where, you know, they basically had organized ballot harvesting for, you know, people who don't even know who their own relatives are. You know, they were voting for Joe Biden. They were voting for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, of, you know, in, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, if you look at the real numbers, and you see actually kind of how close it is in so many states, you know, it really doesn't take much imagination to figure out that, you know, in Georgia, they went from nursing home to nursing home and set up this organized harvesting. I know a person who works still for, you know, the big brown, truck guys. And, he called me on, December the 1st, December the 2nd, that night, and, asked me, he says, Mitchell, is there any reason that you can think of that there would be ballots for the Georgia runoff race that were in Phoenix, Arizona? And they were being sent through the, what they call the Indy Express. I believe it was to a hub in Indianapolis. And these ballots were for the runoff election. And, you know, it wasn't just one or two. It was, 3 tons. I asked him, well, how many are you talking about? He said, well, I don't know. Tons, you know, and, you know, it was one of those tins that they had got from the United States Post Office that had come in. And,
oh yeah, you're finding 200,000 uncounted ballots here, you know, another 50,000 uncounted ballots there. Mitchell, the situation is just absurd. And every time they say this was a fair election, they're lying through their teeth. So everyone should use that as a litmus test. Anyone who endorses the vax or supports the integrity of the 2020 election or thinks that Donald Trump supporters committed an insurrection on January 6th, they are lying to you. And you can tell the degree to which they are corrupt by the number of those items. If it's one, then it's only partial. If it's two, it's substantial. If it's three, it's complete. This is a litmus test for telling the difference between the truth speakers and the frauds. And the frauds are overwhelmingly more numerous than the truth speakers.
Well, we actually, you know, Jim, we did see sedition. You know, we did see, you know, complete fraud. We did see an insurrection, but it was led by, you know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, you know, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the military industrial complex, and the media. They essentially coordinated this long hit job on Trump in an attempt to neutralize his presidency. And that itself is the true damage, the true traitors that of America, that all that piled in on Trump. And, you know, as much as I like Trump, you know, a lot of it was his own doing, where he chose people that were essentially insiders. And to negotiate and move, and the truth is, you know, that's, you can't have an insider. You have to have an outsider who doesn't have or want a political future, and he's gonna go in there, or they, or she, or whoever it is gonna go in there and clean house. You know, 60-80% of the managers within the system of the United States government probably could be eliminated, and you really wouldn't see any difference in service. It truly is that bad.
I agree with all that. I want to return now to the theme of this boycott against Russia here. Iconic American brands are joining the huge list of companies that have ceased Russian operations over Ukraine. CNN reports that McDonald's and coffee giant Starbucks will close their restaurants. Coca-Cola will also close its Russian operation, with the company saying, "Our hearts are with the people who are enduring unconscionable effects from these tragic events in Ukraine." As the world watches, the collective outrage against Vladimir Putin and his government builds. Visa, MasterCard, PayPal have joined the massive number of companies leaving Russia. Frankly, these are all violations of their contracts and agreements to provide support. I believe these are illegal actions over which they should be sued and held to account. It may become more difficult to fly out of Russia, as both Boeing and Airbus say they've suspended parts and maintenance service for Russian airlines. America says they are avoiding Russian airspace. Energy companies like BP and Shell are shutting out Russia. Exxon has stated it'll cease operation and make no further adjustments. Other giant multinationals like Disney and IKEA, Apple and Google have pulled back. Here's a question. A tweet from Texas Independence. How many Chinese companies are moving to fill the void our woke companies are creating by leaving Russia? We are only giving China more influence, not taking away Russia. The world's had other opportunities to show moral outrage by curbing business practices, but has chosen not to do so. My information has been limited. The world's been made aware of horrible human rights violations suffered by the Uyghur Muslim minority in China and the suppression of the Chinese people through censorship. Why was there not more of a demand for a boycott of the 2022 Olympic Games in Beijing? Why has the world not been sufficiently outraged by the atrocious human rights record of the Chinese? The answer could be in the oldest rule of thumb, follow the money. It's pretty common knowledge companies like Nike and Apple make enormous profits from their ties to China. China is Apple's third largest market behind the U.S. and Europe, accounting for 20% of its revenue. Reuters reported in June of 2021 that Nike expected Chinese revenue to top $11 billion. So is a sudden concern for corporations all a show? Cynics would say yes, though I bet you get the companies to admit it. Here's Kay Braxton tweeting. All these companies boycotting Russia, but not one is being asked to leave China, who has a million people in concentration camps as we speak. Why? Don't hashtag boycott McDonald's or any company unless they address real issues. And get this. You're talking about closing McDonald's in Russia? Here, right at home, Seattle's landmark downtown McDonald's closes doors over safety concerns amid surging crime. This is in Seattle. Seattle's surging crime problem has led to flagship downtown McDonald's to close its doors because management can ensure the safety of its employees or its customers. The restaurant shut down operation last week without notice after a particularly violent weekend. The owner-operator of the franchise location, David Santillanes, issued a press statement saying his top priority is the health and safety of his employees and customers. He said the store was temporarily closed out of that concern. He supports local police as they investigate the ongoing violence and said the restaurant would reopen when it is safe to do so. Here's a statement from downtown Seattle McDonald's. My top priority is the health and safety of our employees and customers. Out of concern for the safety of our employees and customers, we temporarily closed our restaurant located at 1533rd Avenue following last week's shooting. The closure came one day after a local bakery, Pashinsky, located a few blocks away, closed over safety concerns. Owner Olga Sagan told reporters she had been patiently communicating with the city for 6 months, but things are only getting worse. She said she feels the city has abandoned downtown and is not treating the situation seriously. She said her customers have been repeatedly threatened. Others have exposed themselves to her employees. The McDonald's closing followed a shooting near the restaurant on February 27, where police and fire department medics responded to find the deceased victim near the scene. In recent years, the restaurant near the restaurant has become notorious for open drug sale and using stolen merchandise and uncontrolled littering and disposal of drug needles. The fatal shooting was the sixth Seattle police have responded to this year. A man was shot in the face at the same intersection last week. Seattle continues to see hundreds of businesses closing and leaving the city because of the city government's inability or unwillingness to address a problem of violent crime substantively. Meanwhile, the city's police department has seen so many officers leave the force that it's increasingly challenging to maintain minimal staff requirements. This is brought to you by the Democrats who are in control of Seattle, the Democrats in control of Oregon, the Democrats in control of California, the Democrats in control of New York City. Crime is flourishing because the Democrats are defunding the police and turning criminals out on the street with regularity where they can continue to perpetrate crimes against American citizens. Mitchell, this is just as disgusting as it gets. We're supposed to herald the closing of McDonald's in Russia, but look what's happening right here in the USA. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't think the McDonald's in Moscow or any place in Russia are going to stay closed real long. Vladimir Putin has already said companies that leave the country and leave their assets and leave all that stuff, that it will be nationalized. So expect McRuskies to be coming to this spring and this summer maybe to Moscow. If you are not aware, the Democrats have all of a sudden gone on a big cleanup spree in Portland, in Seattle, and in other places in California. And I think they're finally realizing that the homeless encampments, that many of them are just they're homeless. People are homeless by choice. And, you know, they just want to they want to party hard and lay in the street and
defecate on the sidewalks, shoot up in public. I mean, it's just outrageous.
I'd end up with my crap on my boot because I'd be kicking them in the shooter, I guess you could say. It's just absolute ludicrous. And it's the breakdown, really the breakdown of society that people, that people choose, you know, and reject all help through whether it's mental illness or addiction or some other, you know, bizarre choice that they might have. It boggles the mind, Jim, but it is the de-evolution of society, and that people believe they can just lay, have food stamps and get some money from the government, and that's the existence of their life.
Mitchell, this is not the way it has to be. We had perfectly orderly society. I grew up in Southern California. We had none of the above there. This is a direct result of Democrat policies, especially promoted by George Soros. One more story before we take our break and we invite callers. Judge sentences Jussie Smollett. Convicted hate crime hoaxer Jussie Smollett was sentenced yesterday, after a jury found him guilty of orchestrating an attack against himself and making false police reports in an apparent attempt to gin up publicity and sympathy. Actually, it was for Kamala Harris, who had an anti-lynching bill, a co-sponsor with Cory Booker, that wasn't getting anywhere in the Senate, and she wanted to have an event that would highlight the necessity. So when this took place, she immediately, as did other Democrats, began calling it a modern-day lynching. Judge James Lynn sent Smollett to 150 days in jail and 30 months of probation, ordered him to pay $120,000 in restitution and a $25,000 fine. The disgraced actor had faced a max of 3 years in prison. He was convicted in December of 5 of 6 counts of felony disorder conduct, a charge applied to filing fake police reports under Illinois law. "I am innocent and I am not suicidal," Smollett shouted out after receiving his sentence. "If I did this, then it means that I stuck my fist in the fears of black Americans in this country for over 400 years and the fears of the LGBTQ community. Your Honor, I respect you and I respect the jury, but I did not do this. I am not suicidal. And if anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it myself." But he did nail this. So the evidence was massive and overwhelming. He paid 2 Nigerian bodybuilders to do it, one of whom is his personal trainer. The other is an extra on the set of Empire. They got the closed circuit TV of these guys buying the equipment, the noose and the bleach and so forth at a hardware store to do it. How can he continue and says he's innocent? Before sentencing, defense attorney Tina Gland argued that Smollett's case should have been dismissed due to errors made by the court. Special prosecutor Sean Weber dismissed those claims, accusing Smollett and his lawyers of pinning the blame for his conviction on everyone but themselves. Smollett reportedly showed up late to a Chicago courthouse for his sentencing, with his bodyguards manhandling reporters outside the building. Smollett claimed he'd been attacked in the dead of night by 2 men shouting racist and anti-gay slurs. He alleged the men wrapped a noose around his neck and doused him in bleach. Well, this was like the coldest night. It was at 2 a.m. Bleach is mostly made out of water. A bottle of bleach would have been frozen solid. This is all absurd beyond belief. And the police commissioner said that it was very suspicious when they questioned Smollett that he still had the noose wrapped around his neck. He said, "No black man in America would allow a noose to stay around his neck for a second, and here Jussie was wearing it as though it were an ornament. I'm looking at a photograph of the Nigerian bodybuilders. They went state's evidence. They admitted their complicity. And here we have a photograph of Jussie out campaigning for Kamala Harris, whom I believe is his aunt, Mitchell. This guy is just incredibly stupid. He's such a narcissist. He thinks that if he issues a monstrous lie, no matter how contradictory the evidence may be, that he's going to get away with it. The man is deluded, but he appears to be of a kind with many other Democrats. I mean, this is just outrageous and beyond belief. Kim Fox, who was the state's attorney originally dismissed the charges after being appealed to by Michelle Obama's chief of staff, has decried the kangaroo prosecution of Jussie Smollett as one of her staff members begs co-workers to please stay and fight. More than 3 years after Jussie Smollett's phony hate crime saga began on a frigid Streeterville street corner, Cook County Judge James Lynn sentenced the fallen star to 150 days in jail and 30 months probation also ordered to pay a $25,000 fine and reimburse the city. Here are a couple of comments. Sonny Behringer. Jussie exemplifies the arrogant ignorance and entitlement of woke black America. He should have been charged the same way they made up. This is mega country. White guys would have been charged. Black privilege is real. Here's another from Stop the Insanity. And why is this person, Kim Fox, still in office? She has no idea what laws are. I guess she was taught by Michelle. 150 days is nothing, and not even handcuffed when he walked out. Still outrageous. Another guess. This woman is in denial of her dereliction of duty in the Smollett case, along with so many other criminals and murderers she has let walk free. Vote her out. Very well taken. Your thoughts, Mitchell, about Jussie Smollett and his fake hate crime.
Well, you know, but Vladimir Putin can't go to Disneyland. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous, Jim, these fake hate crime hoaxers that effectively used good old-fashioned race baiting to become, you know, further the victimhood agenda. And it's mind-boggling. You know, as I said earlier, what people say, what people think, and what people do. And, you know, when you look at COVID, you look at the Trump collusion, delusion, you look at the Ukraine craziness, what you understand is, who said it, you can get people to believe anything, you can get them to do something in the name of something crazy. And it's absolutely, you know, ludicrous. People have been conned into all these different false beliefs.
We're opening the phone lines, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air with Mitchell and me right after this break, 540-352-4452. Call in and share your thoughts about any of the issues we've been discussing here or whatever else may be on your mind. We're waiting for your call. Just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation. 540-352-4452.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio,
Yeah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on Revolution Radio. This is The Raw Deal. Mitchell Bupp with me. And Mitchell, you've been making excellent comments. Would you like to reflect on the Jussie Smollett case, which I think is just an illustration of the profound depths of corruption to which the Democrats have sunk?
Well, when you're so desperate to push an agenda and create a swell of emotional upheaval so you can pass, or so your auntie can pass, a bill. It's truly amazing. Now we're just seeing the lynching of anybody and everybody. it truly is, you know, this circle back, to a time when we judged people on the color of their skin, their socioeconomic group, you know, whether they were poor, you know, whether they wore a suit, or, you know, they, you know, were a blue collar worker that was down there in the warehouse, or, you know, under the hood of your car. You know, we're seeing this, you know, the liberals and alleged progressives. You know, particularly you can see it in Canada, where the National Socialists effectively, you know, threw their labor industry under the bus, or under the truck, so to speak. And this is becoming more and more common as we see the National Socialists attempt to gain power and consolidate their gains at the upper levels of the United States government, also. And, you know, this is a problem. That, you know, this $13 billion for Ukraine and their border defense, when we can't even come up with $4 billion, as we have, you know, 2 million documented, you know, people coming across the border, you know, not realizing that 50% more or more, you know, are coming in. So, you know, when they say, you know, they catch people at the border, they don't know how many they don't catch. And, you know, this idea of, I think, of course, Casa Cortez was pushing, they upped it now to like 12 million to 15 million illegal immigrants. And, you know, I think it's honest to say it's close to 35 million illegal immigrants in the United States. And there was just a report came out that said, quote unquote, the 2020 census undercounted minorities, particularly That's right. Hispanics, blacks, and Asians in the 2020 census by 18 million. Well, this one happened to be 18 million illegal immigrant families. Would it be? Added to the, 12 million or 15 million, whatever they want to say, that would be close to the appropriate number. It's absolutely crazy because now, in some localities, they're actually letting, illegal aliens, foreign nationals, vote in the election, in a local election, effectively diluting and throwing out the votes of ordinary Americans. It's a destruction of democracy. As we claim to be going around the world and trying to, help democracy, it really has become nothing but a weapon, a word, for the economic hitmen, the social change and the manufacturing of a mindset in a country. And then, of course, pulling the revolution handle once you believe you have enough support. And as we really know and we watch, the support is to overthrow a country. It can be, literally just hundreds of people in a country of millions. It's just all of it is so much of it is perception. But as I said earlier, all of this, in Ukraine and everything, it all goes back to the unfaithful negotiations, the continued attacks, for example, Kazakhstan. And, after that January attempted overthrow, we saw a 180. And, it wouldn't surprise me, Victoria Nuland being the neocon or neoliberal she is, went back to Moscow and said, "Hey, Vlad, how you like me now?" But remember, she is, or I don't know if she still is, but before she went on board with the Biden administration, she was the head of the Center for a New American Security. That is a neocon, neoliberal think tank that took over when PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, went away in 2008. And it's the continuation of the policies. Also, this, when Donald Trump was attempted to politically assassinate him through impeachment, Eric Ciaramella, the alleged secret whistleblower, and his one of his colleagues, Sean Misko, in early in Trump's administration, they were overheard talking about, well, how do you get rid of this Trump? How do you get rid of him? How do you manufacture something against him? And it was essentially reported. It was something that was documented, but nobody ever says anything about that. And that was Eric Ciaramella and Sean Misko. And it's alleged that Eric Ciaramella was the whistleblower, and with Colonel Vindman, who allegedly essentially wrote the script for the phone call. That all that appears to be an attempt to impeach or entrap Trump in some kind of impeachment. If you remember during the impeachment hearings, Vindman never read what Trump said. He read the script that he had for Trump. So, listen, in all of these things, throughout our government, you can't trust any level of government. Period. End of story. It's a sad state of affairs. And Donald Trump, when he gets reelected, which I believe he will if he runs, the first thing he must do is to reach out to the third party activists, independents mostly that are running for president, or those that have run for president in the past, because they see how the system is broke. and they want to essentially, they don't want to completely destroy America's government to rebuild it, because frankly, that's one, I believe that's an impossibility. But number two, if you can get the crime out of governments and you actually prosecute politicians and all of their cronies that are essentially, let's be honest, donations to political parties are just bribes disguised to nonprofit organizations. You know, we have to stop this idea that, you know, Democrat and Republican, when and truly, you know, as you said earlier, the Uni Party, it exists. And, you know, it is this this cross member of Democrats and Republicans. They brought Trump in. They brought Bernie Sanders in because they have to try to maintain their power structure of the two party system. If it breaks to four parties, you know, with Bernie Sanders and his commie friends, and then maybe liberals and establishment Democrats, and you have, you know, Trump and the MAGA, the National Patriot crowd, and then you have, on the other hand, you know, you have the traditional Republican Uni Party crowd. And, you know, if we would break into those four sectors, it would be helpful for the United States. But because the Republicans and Democrats are so vested in just the two-party system, they will never allow it to be broken apart. That's why, you know, Ross Perot was essentially blackmailed, you know, by H.W. Bush to be embarrassed by in the political in his 92 run, I believe it was. Anyway, it was we have so much counter political intelligence operations going on that are run from the government. And, you know, if we look at Stephen Halper, we can see that, because Stephen Halper was actively working, you know, basically against political operatives for years. I mean, he was actually, you know, put together a dossier on Jimmy Carter. So it's a we have so much grift and graft and greed and crime in our system that that's why Hillary Clinton isn't prosecuted. I'm sure you're aware of that. So, yeah. Did I lose you, Jim?
Well, Mitchell, you're making an awful lot of terrific points. Get this, just further illustration of the corruption in Washington. House passes massive $1.5 trillion omnibus spending package, yeah. Nearly 3,000-page bill, released just hours before the vote after a 1:30 a.m. meeting this morning. In another jaw-dropping dereliction of duty by our elected representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to approve a massive pork-stuffed $1.5 trillion omnibus spending package on Wednesday, despite not having any time at all to review its nearly 3,000 pages of content. The bill includes $13.6 billion in aid for Ukraine and European allies, will fund the federal government through September 30th if it is passed by the Senate later this week. That would have to be today. On Tuesday night, the Democrat-controlled House Rules Committee held a meeting in the dead of night at 1:30 a.m. to finalize the $1.5 trillion spending package. After meeting for an hour, they released the final text of the bill just before 3 a.m., which gave lawmakers less than 12 hours to scramble and read its content before the vote, which was set for 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Most lawmakers, if not all, weren't awake when the bill was released, so they didn't receive it until the morning, giving them just a few hours. Despite the last-minute release, the defense portion passed 361-69, while the domestic passed 260-171. In a Twitter post, Marjorie Taylor Greene slammed Speaker Pelosi and her hand-picked committee for the underhanded tactics as she announced the incident. Green also uploaded a video online to express her outrage. The American First representative explained she's still shocked about being blindsided by the absolutely horrendous bill, called the legislative process completely broken because of the Democrats' unwavering partisanship and Pelosi's corruption. Nancy Pelosi should be completely unseated as Speaker of the House, Green concludes. Here's what she said. I want to tell you how corrupt Congress is. Now, you would not believe what happened last night. As a matter of fact, I'm still shocked about it, and the rest of the Republicans were all shocked about it, for all of us here in Washington. When we woke up earlier this morning, we found out it was too late to go and put amendments in, try to argue back, try to get things removed from this horrendous, absolutely horrendous $1.5 trillion spending bill. We weren't able to do that because the Democrats snuck it through. They did not tell us ahead of time. No one had any idea until the committee put it on the website after midnight. This is not how Congress is supposed to work. It's completely broken. So when you look at our government and you are shocked and cannot believe the things that happened here in Washington, D.C., I am telling you, this is how corrupt it is. We are supposed to vote on this $1.5 trillion omnibus bill today, and no one has read it. No one has read the bill. 2,741 pages. Mitchell, I think she's got it right. I think she's a wonderful person and a great American speaking out about the corruption here. I endorse her 100%. Your thoughts?
Well, in a way she is right, but in a way she is just another symptom of idiocracy. Listen, if I would just was elected to Congress, the minute I would see that bill, I would be having three or five of my, you know, scanning copier, digitizing, formatting, machines. And it would be scanned and it would be posted directly to Reddit. It would be posted directly to a dozen sites around the world where people could, millions of people could put eyeballs on it and then just start posting and social media and, you know, giving feedback. That's what you do today. You can't stand there and bitch, oh, God, I can't got time to read it. Well, you scan it, and as you scan it, you post it on the Internet, and you let millions of eyeballs tear it apart. That's how you do that. That's how you fix that game, so to speak. And the other thing there, you know, if you're aware of what how this shit works in Congress and everything, then, you know, it doesn't take people much to understand the dirty tricks that they pull. So, you know, you essentially have to have a staffer that keeps track on that for late night postings, you know, and all this other stuff. And I really don't think they do a lot of this stuff in, you know, vacuum chambers. So, you know, there's word out there and some Republicans knew, some other Democrats knew. And they were going to get ready to throw this up there. So, you know, as I said, you know, you either if you get it in a physical form, as you scan it, you post it on the Internet page by page by page by page. Even if you have to have 10 machines going at once and paging it, you know, and then you just you get feedback. You won't have to read every page. Because everybody will be talking about it and everybody will be looking at it, you know, particularly people that are on are affected by these things. You know, I just think, you know, we have to crowdsource our brains and our information today, and we can get feedback from 100,000 people, you know, versus, you know, my a staff of a few people and you trying to blast through this thing looking at the headers and everything else, because we know so often, you know, what the top and the introduction of the paragraph will be, may be related, but not specifically. It'll be some other goodie or something wrapped up, you know, down in the lower print of these bills and these packages. And so, you know, you essentially have to read every line and, you know, you have to have different points of view. And until you have that, you really can't have a full analysis. So I would use the internet. That would be me.
I think those are great suggestions, Mitchell. I just am so glad to have your contributions today. It may be our listeners are in shock over what's been going on here. It's absolutely stunning, horrendous, unbelievable. But the United States has been humiliated in such a way that I doubt our nation can ever regain any credibility in the eyes of the world. What's going on here is so monstrous. It is so vile. Our lies have been so egregious that no self-respecting nation is going to have any respect for the United States or believe anything that our leaders declare. And that is an absolute certainty with the Biden administration, but I believe it's going to extend to an enduring effect upon the credibility of the United States on the world stage. This, to me, is as bad a situation as we have ever encountered. We do have one caller here. Wants to slip a few words in edgewise before we conclude. Please do join us, caller, from 913 area code. Go ahead. Join the conversation. John.
Good day, gentlemen. I just want to just address James. We have our differences. We all do. I just want to say I admire you and I commend you for being the fairest radio host I've ever heard. You know, regardless of our differences, you hold a high amount of respect for your listeners, and I appreciate that. You guys have outstanding guests on, which is truly amazing. And I'm glad you're open to the, you know, uniparty system, because I really believe, I'm most certain you know how I feel about Trump. You know, I'm not too big of a fan. You know, I was first, but I believe that it's the same old song and dance. It's Bush 2.0. You know, I fell for Bush, and Bush did the same thing. And I didn't call to talk about any of that. I just wanted to thank you for your outstanding performance on the radio, for allowing people to say whatever it is they want, whether they agree or disagree. You give them fair time, and that is the most important thing in this world, because we don't have that. And Mitchell Buck, you kicked some ass, I must say, buddy. I really like the morning show.
Hey,
you know,
I hope
you guys can continue on to the path of pointing out how this is a one-party system. Like I said, you know, I have my Corvette up for grabs for anybody who wants to prove me wrong that Trump is an insider, and I'll be more than glad to give out my phone number and you can call me and challenge me on that any day. But, James, I just, regardless of any of that, I like I said, you're making, you might be able to open up something in the future for all of us, because we don't get this anywhere else, James. You're the only one, really. And it may be exception of a few others and people who you're affiliated with that allows the people to actually express how they feel, whether you agree with them or not. I just commend you for that, because everybody else has been sold out, and they took the money and they just want to promote the agendas, and they're like gatekeepers. And thank you for not being a gatekeeper. I mean, I plan on making a donation to you guys. That's how strong I believe in what you're doing, and I just can't thank you guys enough. You know, it's real men like you that are going to make a difference in this world, because we have our back against the wall. And I just would like to point out one last thing, if I could. And if I'm not, correct me if I'm incorrect in any of this, but when our founding fathers, you know, ran from England, I'm most certain that the federal government, which from England, said it was allowed to set up shop in a 10-by-10 square area known as D.C. to oversee what we're doing. And if we feel that they're out of control, you know, it is written that we, you know, have every right to remove them. And I just can't believe that they have managed to coax society into thinking that they control the United States when it's not them. You know, they're only supposed to be overlooking it from England, and we need to send D.C. back, and it seems to me like they're all operating illegally, and every single president, and I don't care which one of them you pick, goes and visits the Queen and kisses her rumpus. And I'm telling you, this D.C. thing has got to stop, you know. It's the people that are going to make the biggest difference in this world, and we need to get out of politics, and I have a feeling those days are coming, because when it's known to the world that these politicians destroy the greatest country in the world, they'll all be hunted by the herd. And once again, you guys have a great weekend. Metro Buck, you kicked some ass, buddy. And James, like I said, I have a lot of respect for you, because whether we agree or disagree, you seem to be able to hold the line with the most balanced I've ever seen a talk show host have. Because, hey, we could all argue until we're blue in the face and say this and say that, but you give everybody a chance to say it, you know. It's the only show I've ever heard anybody draw right down the line, right down the middle. Amazing, guys. Just completely amazing. I hope we can keep this relationship up for a long time. And you know, hey, win or lose, we're going to stick together, and we're going to fight these people, and we're going to take this country back.
John, I can't thank you. I can't thank you enough for this terrific message. You've made my day. It was wonderful to hear from you, and I so appreciate that kind of feedback and evaluation of what we're doing here at Revolution Radio. We want to bring the truth to the American people, and we're going to continue to do it as long as we can. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones, because, frankly, we still do not know how much time we have left. Have a great weekend. Back on Monday with more of the Raw Deal right here on Revolution Radio. And Mitchell, let me add, you are just terrific today. I can't thank you enough for all of your excellent comments.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Hey, thanks, everybody. Y'all have a great weekend. God bless you. Good luck.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, Perfect Triangle with Perfect Giuseppe Triangle. From the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.